Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Do you know a healthcare hero? Someone who fights for better care for their families, their friends, or their community? The New York Alliance for Healthcare Justice wants to honor them and you with a pair of tickets to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Summer Jam at UBS Arena on June 2nd. Visit hot97.com/NYHJustice to enter to win. Must be 18 or older to enter. Made hot by the New York Alliance for Healthcare Justice.
It's kids-free Halloween at Universal Circus. Trick one, treat one. Buy one, get one. Buy an adult ticket
and get a kid's ticket for free.
Scary monsters in the haunted lobby. Spooky surprises. Free trick-or-treat candy. And cash prizes for the best-dressed kid. It's fun, frightening, and fantastic. Kids-free Halloween. Now through Halloween at Universal Circus Orchard Beach. Details at UniversalCircus.com. Select seats and shows while supplies last.
Zebra in the morning, Laura Stiles and Rosenberg, and Jesse Ortiz. Give it up for Jesse Ortiz.
Who's Jesse Ortiz?
It's Jesse Ortiz, but Ortiz.
No, it's Jesse Reyes.
What?
Where's your head?
Where is my head?
Again, we'll do this
yo,
again.
No, 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 no. By the way,
no.
I do this all the time.
But this is a different level. This is, yo, are you having a stroke?
No.
No, no, no. Yo, you just stroked out.
I just stroked out.
By the way, I thought it was an inside joke.
So I thought it was a joke y'all had. By I was like,
no.
Oh, I was going to be in it.
No, you know, and you know why? Because I typed in Jesse Ortiz on my phone.
But
why
who is Jesse Ortiz?
I don't even know.
We don't know. The best part
for sounds like someone.
By the way, because I want this to come out. The best part is the audience, you know, they're like actually close.
Yes.
That was like an actually legitimate.
And I literally typed in my phone. It's an actual legit disrespect. Sorry, Jesse. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
Yessie
Reyes is here. The new book. We got to get to it.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Oh, you have actual notes
words
in
from a
this
goat
book.
Princess.
Yeah, look how. I don't want to sound diminutive, like something to call it cute, but this is so. It's like small and awesome and.
Like me.
And yeah, it's you.
And it's a goat princess. To her motherfucking self.
Yeah, you dedicate the book to your motherfucking self. It's a poetry book.
Yes, sir.
And what is this like from? What era? Like. Are these words from?
For like my whole life, even when I write songs, it's always like I pull shit from when I was 16. I pull shit from when I was 20. I pull shit from yesterday, but I started writing it during the pandemic.
This is your actual book. You have notes in it.
Yeah.
That's your actual. This is yours.
This is a note from a fan I got yesterday.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Aww. That's dope.
Yeah, that's mad sweet.
So when did you decide like I want to have this collection of words, like I'm gonna put this out for my fans?
That I want to put out a piece of writing for my fans.
Yeah,
I mean, shit. Honestly, I've been wanting to do it forever. The first, how's it called? The first accolade I ever got in my life. I was like 11 years old from a poetry festival. So I know from the outside, it looks like it's something brand new, and it is publicly, like in terms of a business endeavor.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of creatively, I've always just played with words. If anything, it's where I played
your
first.
Your poetry first.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, you're one of the interesting artists to me that is a poet, feels poetry first, but how do I say this? But like the songs are so dope. Like sometimes people who are poets, I don't think it translates, especially like we saw
song
in hip hop a lot.
Right?
Song structure didn't work, or it felt like you're trying to turn your poem into a song, but it's not working. You're like a rare writer in that your songwriting and your poetry are both
amazing,
phenomenal.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of rarefied air in that way.
Thank God. I mean, shit, I've suffered in other places where I wish I was more talented, so it's nice to have a potent there.
Wait, where are you lacking talent?
I mean, trying to be more concise when I'm communicating in person, trying to have less introverted tendencies, trying to have less social anxiety, especially now that I don't rely on liquor like I used to,
yeah,
to help me, especially in those scenarios. So, like, in terms of social lubrication and just having social fluidity or liquidity, despite having the liquid assistance, is where I
do you not drink at all anymore? Or less?
Pretty much.
Pretty much no.
Yeah.
And it used to be like a crutch for you, like we're going to a party, as it is for, let's be real, most of us.
Yeah. Of course.
You know, you go to a party and it's like, I don't feel comfortable. Let me get a little backup here.
Yep.
And why'd you decide to not do that?
Like 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I had a buddy that was struggling with it too. And we had issues with each other because of it. My ex, it's not my buddy, it's my ex. But
who you wrote songs about too, right?
As well, yes.
Yep.
And it was one of the beautiful things that we kind of exchanged, because we ended up deciding to go sober for Lent. So we both did 40 days. And day 41 came and I was like, I feel pretty fucking good. And then 42 came and I was like, huh, interesting. And then when I tried to start again, and it was like my body was like, wait a minute, this is what it feels like to not put your liver through the ringer. This is what it feels like. And I was a bartender and a bottle service girl for a long time, so my body had become accustomed to being able to function fine drunk. I can count money drunk. I could, like, you know, so it was fine. And obviously being in LA and studio sessions and at fucking parties and shit, it just becomes something so normal. So it literally went from normal every day to nothing for 40, and then trying to come back 41, 42, and my liver was like, nah, bitch, it's different now. And it wouldn't react, and it was like my body was allergic to it. And then I started feeling better mentally. I couldn't make the commitment fully, but slowly my body was just more, it just became louder every time. Mm. And I finally, like, listened.
Well, then also, too, like, you just don't feel, it doesn't feel good. It's not fun. You don't wake up feeling good. You don't feel fresh. And I also noticed on your Instagram, too, like, you started working out a lot, too. Like,
yeah,
you
don't
pull up. She was, like, really getting
on
your physical.
Hell yeah. I've made an effort to be more healthy in general. Just more health in general.
And do you find more clarity in your songwriting and your thoughts also?
Clarity as a person, yeah. In general, but like it affects me everywhere, in business and in business and songs and how I handle emotions and how and everything. It's helped me. It's also helped me be a lot calmer.
More stable with emotions.
Oh yeah, 100%. Because it has somewhere to go. But I mean, it seems so silly when you do the things that seem like people have been telling you forever, and you do it and you're like, well, fuck, you're right. Because it seems so obvious that like energy needs somewhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You work out, that's you, like, you know, excess energy goes out. And I've been lucky enough to, I used to smoke a lot of weed. And then when I stopped / paused smoking weed, the thing that came into my life as a supplement was hot yoga. And hot yoga did that for me. So I feel like I should have fucking known that. I was like, well, if I add something else that's more of a physical or more physically strenuous, it'll give me an opportunity for having the energy be more productive when it gets released, as opposed to something negative or emotional or emotionally charged.
I also think that sometimes people like, so I gave up drinking when I started my weight loss journey. And I never said I'm never going to drink again. I was like, I'm just going to give it a break. And then it was 6 months, and then it was seven. Yeah. And then, like, now, it's so funny because we were out in Vegas, and, like, I had one margarita, and I barely barely sipped through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just my body being like, nah, it's not for you
anymore. I'm good. Yeah. I don't need
it. It's not for you anymore. And that's okay. Like, you don't have, I think people sometimes set these crazy rules for themselves. Yeah. And it's like, just go take it one day at a time.
We were just talking about, the day-by-day approach to any time that you're going to, like, build a wall, eat a fucking big meal.
Yeah.
Like, brick by brick, step by step, up a mountain is a lot easier than just standing at the bottom, glaring up at it, thinking this is paramount.
Yeah.
Right, so if you make the goal perfection, then you might beat yourself up if you fall short. But if the goal is like, I just drink less.
The goal's consistency.
Right, yeah. Everyone wants to have these. I'm a vegetarian. I don't drink.
I'm back. I just had a steak the other day.
Right, and you basically don't eat meat. Basically. But you felt like having a steak, and
it's okay, you know.
Maybe your body needed
chicken.
It.
I eat chicken every day now.
Right.
Back. Well, then I changed back. I was like no animal products Monday through Friday, and then I started like doing more cycling and more strength. I didn't really want to keep just having like protein shakes, which felt like fake food. I was like, I need food,
right?
And I need protein. I'm gonna just have grilled chicken. So I started eating grilled chicken like ridiculous amounts, like literally all day, every day, and started seeing crazy results. And now every now and then I might have a steak. I had a filet mignon last night and a lobster tail.
Wait, whoa. Well, there's a lot going on here. Number one, what was Ebro doing last night? He was having a damn...
It was my father-in-law's birthday.
Oh, okay.
Celebration.
Nice. Good for you.
Jesse, this book...
Jesse Ortiz.
Words of a Goat...
Ortiz.
Jesse, Words of a Goat Princess. Yes. The cover. This is your art.
No, that is Eloise, a.k.a. Brock Tessour, on Instagram. She's a fucking phenomenal artist from... France, and
she's all through. That's her art all through.
That is her art all through. Her bios in the book as well. She like, I met her circa figures time, and she had posted fan art, and I loved it. This is years ago, and she ended up, I ended up finding her online, and I became a fan, so I followed her, and then sold it, because then we ended up working together. Like, she ended up doing the cover art for one of my singles on the first project, Shutter Island. Then we worked together for Being Human in Public, which was my second EP. She's the one that designed the cover. Oh, she designed, she did a lot. So this has been a relationship that's been, like, years in the making, and when this opportunity came up, I couldn't think of anyone that I was more excited to collaborate with to bring the visuals of the words out.
Right.
Yeah, she's sick. Brock Tessour. I love her to death.
And so the items in this book, because I see affirmations here too, and then like you get to the end, it's like a goat, and you know there's a poem here, but then you leave kind of blank spaces.
Yeah.
Is this stuff that you've also
practiced?
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
What? Hell yeah! Nice. That shit is my fucking. I feel like that's one of my cheat codes. But I talk about it like I'm not trying to gatekeep the cheat code all the time. I say like affirmations and the power of the tongue is something that's so. I mean, y'all know. I feel like anyone that sees any sort of success in their life is very aware of how much your tongue is one of the strongest muscles you have, and then how much you repeat as well. Like how you speak to yourself, how you speak about others, what your thought patterns are. It's like the proof's in the pudding. You know, I haven't ever met anyone successful that was negative as fuck. You know, even, well, in terms of how they approach what they're trying to do.
They may be negative, but not in that way.
Not in that way. Not when it comes to how they're approaching their career. What they're working on. Yeah. Like to get something done. So it's something that I've practiced and I wanted to share.
And the book I'm holding is yours. Like, this isn't for us to keep.
No, I got some for y'all. Can you tell?
The reason I ask is because you do have, you said this is a fan letter.
That's Insiders.
Which is dope. Have you read this since you put it together? Like, have you gone through and...
Oh, my God. The roughs look like Frankenstein's back after a freaky night. Like, just, there's so many edits, and it was one of those things that I needed to... Like, when it was done, I had to force myself not to, because there would be annotations in that book. You know?
Meaning you'd want to edit the actual poetry that was already done, or just the order?
No, that...
So you'd be looking back at something you wrote years ago and be like, oh, this could be better.
There's songs I can't hear without feeling physical, like, just innate want to throw up.
Because there's a line that you don't, this could have been better?
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
But it also takes a lot of will to let go.
To let it go. So I've let it go. I'm conscious that that's a tendency that I'm working on to, fix. But I feel like it's a very common creative, curse to want to keep editing and want to keep editing.
So who takes things from you? On your team.
That guy over there.
So he's the it's done guy.
Wilson.
It's done.
Yeah. Yeah. But in his defense, they were all like, I didn't come to the team with the book until it was done. Nobody even knew I was working on it.
So it was close to done already.
No, it was done.
Oh, you'd already gone through the Crazy Frankenstein edits.
I had done through the Crazy Frankenstein edits I wanted to do at the time, yes, and then I thought I was done, and then we gave it to the pub, which was great. Like, shout out to Andrew McNeil and Dennis, because when we were sitting down with publishers, one of my concerns was sitting down with someone and then feeling like I had another cook in the kitchen, and the book was done, and that's why I said, like, the roughs look so messy, because there's so many edits. When I partnered with someone, I was able to partner with someone that respected that at that point it was done. Obviously, internally, when I read it the next day or when I read it today, there's still annotations I'm gonna make. But that's just something I gotta let go.
Yes, and that's the hard part about artists who put out your sort of art, is that it's out there permanently. Me and my wife always argue because a photo or a thing that she does that's not even a big deal, she'll not even put out. And I'm like, yo, just post the picture. This shit's fire.
Yeah.
Because for us... Our art is just, they're gone. Once we get on the air, that moment comes and it's over.
You'll hear it later and hate it.
Right, but you're on to the next day, you're on to the next show, and it doesn't exist.
Keep moving.
You guys, though, your art lives. once you put it out, that is going to be out there.
Oh,
forever.
Ours does too, buddy. You got some videos on the internet. They living, and you're like, "Ooh, I did that. Yeah, I said that."
Yeah, no, in fact, we especially you. but no, we totally. But it's not quite the same. Like, you guys want the piece to be perfect, because with the exception of like Kanye, most people, once they put an album out, it's done. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get to go back and retool it.
Yeah,
and that's scary. I get it. I get why that's hard.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Do you know a healthcare hero? Someone who fights for better care for their families, their friends, or their community? The New York Alliance for Healthcare Justice wants to honor them and you with a pair of tickets to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Summer Jam at UBS Arena on June 2nd. Visit hot97.com/NYHJustice to enter to win. Must be 18 or older to enter. Made hot by the New York Alliance for Healthcare Justice.
You have a... I guess it's poem 8. Is that how this, I should read this? Like,
sure.
Not chapter, but poem 8, identity.
Mm-hmm.
And the artwork with it is very, very telling. But this, you know, struggling with identity and what you see in the mirror and all of those things, has that been a challenge for you?
Yeah.
Throughout? I mean, everybody's challenged, but, you know, at different points in time.
Yeah.
But this piece, how is this a newer piece, older piece?
That is a newer piece.
Newer piece.
Yeah, it's a newer piece because I feel like I've come a lot closer to peace, like to emotional equilibrium than I ever have in my life right now. Which is ironic to say considering the times that we're in, which also makes it a fucking struggle to be balanced and be appreciative every day without feeling guilty for being born in the body I was born in, you know? But also because I was able to find a version of success with a byproduct of really rough times in my life, it's a little bit scary to identify with that version of myself, because I know a lot of my songs are sad and dark, but that's just because that's what I, when I'm sad and when I'm going through shit, that's where I feel the innate like drive to be like, ugh, and let it out. And when I'm happy, I don't really feel that as much. So if my work is so synonymous with dark times, then it makes my identity now a little bit of a, not battle, not crisis, but almost like there's more pussyfooting. There's more second guessing how in myself I feel.
Got it. You don't want everything that you put out to feel dark, because that then becomes your identity.
It is, a lot of it is dark. So my identity by nature of like, someone was like, "Oh, you're the heartbreak girl," and I was like, "What? What the fuck?" I can't. It was something like that, and I was like, "Interesting that that's people's perception, or some people like some people have that perception of me and my art." Where right now I just feel better, but the thing is, I'm also aware that life is waves, and I happen to be in an uptick right now, you know. But I'm sure it's gonna do this. But the only difference is that I've learned not to just be at the mercy of the extremes. I know it's gonna keep going up and down because that's the nature of life.
And also, right.
That's the key, though.
Yeah. People, you are to people what they need you for. That's another thing, because I could go through many of your records that aren't about heartbreak.
Yeah.
Right? And so I've never thought of you that way. I just thought of you as like, you know what I'm saying? So, but for that person, they needed you to be that person.
Yeah. No, you could be fight a bitch, Jesse. You could be sex, Jesse. You could be darkness, sad. It's all there.
It's all there. Yeah.
Your Eminem records are different than the records on the last album. Like, there's a different, but it's a good point. And you do have to acknowledge the people who take you in that way, because that is the role that you play for them.
Yeah.
And that's not invalid.
It's not invalid. I just want to make sure that anytime I do, like, that's one of the reasons that 43 is in there with the keys, like, that I'm trying to drop in terms of how you speak to yourself and how you apply trying to better yourself as a human being and all those things, because I just, for the people that resonated with that, I love that they have that, but I also want to make sure I'm also documenting my growth, because if they're using that, I don't want anyone to stay stuck and then use certain songs as like, oh yeah, I'm dark, but that person's dark too, so that's
right. But it's
it
like
is.
Don't miss out. No, I'm also this.
Yeah.
So they, well, yeah.
And just to go back to 43, A Goat, the poem, there's four sections. She leaves blanks for you to fill in affirmations. And then when you go to the next page, she gives you some words if you can't find your own words.
Yeah, wow. No excuses.
To fill in the affirmation.
Yeah.
And then you also give this here. It says, once a day for 21 days with just a sprinkle of faith, for you and I are the same. And this is how my blessings came. I hope this helps. I hope this message finds you well. And in the event that you feel stuck, I hope this letter shifts your luck with love and infinite gratitude, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm supposed to read that 5 times?
No, you're supposed to read the affirmations 5 times.
Oh, the affirmations 5. Okay.
Yeah. What are some of the words she has in the affirmations?
At peace, strong, beautiful, successful, uplifting to myself and others, a mogul, a great artist, loving, happy, disciplined, determined, enthusiastic, leading my field, talented, healthy, forgiving, kind, connected, achieving my full potential, grateful for my life.
Do you do affirmations every day?
Every day.
How many you do a day?
Fuck, you do a lot.
You keep going?
Yeah.
Do you do gratitudes every day?
Every day.
What are gratitudes? What are you thankful for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you do that?
Yeah. Oh, like me?
Yeah. Peter? No, yeah. I'm just asking Peter. Because
I do at times. So when I was at 5 years ago, when I got into my bad period,
yeah.
My therapist got me on a thing of 10 gratitudes.
Yeah.
10 affirmations and prayers, and 10 prayers. So I do 10 of each. I'll just do 10 of me on the way to work. I would just try to do 10
each. It's interesting how it affects people, because I started doing it with my daughter, with my 2-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, it's a very, very simple, but like I love the way she lights up when she does it. And it has like this crazy effect on me. So now I feel like I need to do that with her every day.
I love that.
And that's it makes
she does affirmations?
Yeah. We just say like, I'm strong. I am smart. I am beautiful. I can do anything. Simple as that.
Wow.
And she like lights up and yells.
Of course,
it out.
That's so beautiful that you're cultivating that so early on.
Yeah, but I never had that for myself. So it's new to me too.
Right, right.
So while it's uplifting her, it uplifts me also.
Where did you find all this stuff? Because you give, the energy you give is... I assume that you're not in recovery because of based
that's
on...
That's funny. You told me that last time.
Yeah, because but you give recovery energy, though. Right? Like, you really do. You give... You not the, like, I just kind of quit drinking. That's not recovery. That's just, you know, you being you. But, like, the affirmations, the prayers, the being in touch with yourself, the really working at it. It's often what people find after they've hit the bottom and gone into recovery. How did you end up finding
at the bottom?
No, I don't know that you ended up at the bottom, but or maybe we've all had our bottom. But yeah, so you had for you, you did hit a really bad point, which helped you find all of these different things. That was sort of the path.
More than once, yeah.
And was there one time in particular, and was it relationship based?
It's hard to measure the intensity of it because at the time it felt so intense, and then you grow, and then years come, and then God gives you another battle that seems even more intense, and you're like, holy fuck, I didn't make it through the last one if this one's going to kill me. So different ones. But the one that changed me last, I feel like I can answer better, or answer more accurately. I mean, 2020, everyone was fucked. It was very much a collective heaviness. And everything was canceled. Our tour had halted. Families weren't seeing each other, so it made it even more difficult, like added an extra element of separation that really fucking hurt.
You were in Canada?
Mm-hmm, in Canada. And so because I think that was so, and relationship, like everything was just culminating. I was fucked. And then I found this book that I think I mentioned before too, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle,
mm-hmm.
that like changed me fundamentally. Like I as a person and then everywhere else, as an artist, as a woman, as a daughter, as an aunt, as a niece, it just changed me everywhere. So a lot of what I apply every day comes from that, like tuning into the present, trying to make sure that I like see the spirit in your eyes when I'm speaking to you, because spirit sees spirit. How to connect with people, how to let things the fuck go, because holding on to things does nothing but fucking...
Pull it forward.
Yeah, man. It's so shitty.
Baggage.
It's so shitty. And then it's fucked too because there's a hack. Like you when you practice non-resistance, it just makes life so much easier. Now when you practice not being attached to things, whether good or bad,
but
it just makes
the whole
a lot
thing.
Easier.
That's the whole thing. So when I not to make it about me, I'm sorry. But when I went through my divorce, that was like the main lesson people were trying to teach me, and I couldn't hear it at the time. The like letting go was like the first time that I realized I didn't want this to happen, and I had no control over the situation, right? You have no control, and you really become like an infant. and you remember, you're like, well, why do we ever cry about anything? The reason a baby cries, right? Kenza cries because you take the thing away that she wants, and we go, bye. And so if you can learn to not feel like we need things.
Yeah, or be a witness to your thoughts.
What does that mean?
Like, or be a witness to your emotions, like just not identifying with the feeling of the, you know? Because it's so easy to say, because if we've obviously like done the reading and when you practice fixing your thought patterns, it becomes a lot easier not to identify and to stop that feeling. But that's, I don't want to say this theory, but when you're doing it practically for someone that's never done it, the practical way is to be like, okay, well, in order not to feel that resistance, I'm just going to observe the feeling. And then how do you observe the feeling? You step out and you just like watch your thoughts. And when you watch your feelings, you hold space for yourself, and all of a sudden you're holding grace or you're feeling grace, and it becomes a lot easier to forgive and to like see the child in you that's struggling. And then now you feel empathy for yourself, and now there's love, and now there's an opportunity not to feel that resistance because you're just letting it happen, and you're letting yourself feel that without the judgment of feeling it. And then it becomes easier for that shitty moment or that shitty feeling to kind of breathe, because it doesn't feel like it's getting fucking pulled away anymore, and then it's a step closer to healing and a step closer to being present. But that, like, that's what we're doing, that's what you're doing, that's what you did. It's just that there's people that don't know how. Well, and so it sounds so foreign.
Tools. It's the tools part.
Well, yesterday, me and my wife got into a little thing, and I was immediately upset. And whenever I get into a thing with her, I want it to be over immediately, right? So my way of handling relationships, and this will be perfect for people who already hate me and think I'm a cuck snowflake anyway, is I just want to apologize. And whatever I did, I was wrong. Like the great Take That song, I apologize, blah, blah, blah. And if that doesn't do it, because sometimes with women, that's not in the moment, that's just not enough. She needs air. She always needs time for it to breathe. I had to like breathe through, like she's your wife. She can be mad at you and go away and go live her life. And you don't have to, I'm literally like, she might float away if I don't control this in this moment. And by giving myself time to really be like, lo and behold, you know, the day goes on. All passes. All is good. And I'm like, oh my God, the experiment worked. She didn't disappear. But that only got harder when you actually go through something where you lose someone.
Yeah, right.
Because now you're really fucked up. Like, well, I have one really example.
Uh-huh.
It can go really left. You know what I mean? And it's, so to your point though, you got to like, thinking through those feelings is hard. Yeah. And how old are you again?
33.
I just feel like you've been working on it very early, fortunately for you.
But also
too,
she has the fact that she has to sort through her emotions to make great music for us.
Well, and she does you do the sorting in the music.
Right.
Like, right? I mean, in the poetry, it's sort of coming out.
Yeah.
As a songwriter, you haven't really been able to run and hide from your reality either.
No, right? It slaps you in the face.
Right.
Yeah.
If you want to make good music.
Yeah. Well,
what do you mean?
Meaning that there are artists out there who make music and don't deal with their reality. They just make cartoonish, fun songs. And that'll get you someplace.
Yeah.
But the connection that you create is a different level of connection because you're giving people your heart.
All of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a different thing. Mm-hmm.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Do you know a healthcare hero? Someone who fights for better care for their families, their friends, or their community? The New York Alliance for Healthcare Justice wants to honor them and you with a pair of tickets to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Summer Jam at UBS Arena on June 2nd. Visit hot97.com/NYHJustice to enter to win. Must be 18 or older to enter. Made hot by the New York Alliance for Healthcare Justice.
How much of your discovery in this journey have you realized that some of your, even the culture, your culture as a, your ancestors, you know, where you grew up, some of these truths and I guess learnings have kind of always been around you, but sometimes we don't see them because, you know, that's just, abuela talking, or that's just auntie talking, and they've been it's been there, or it's been in the stories, and it's been in the songs, and all of this kind of learning has kind of been there. Have you discovered any of that culturally?
Discovered.
Just some of the things that you've been able to learn about affirmations and positive energy and the power of tongue.
My mom, I'm really lucky. I'm really privileged when it comes to like the experience I had with my parents. My mom is very much like that, like the speaking life into me. She does that. My mom worked with kids in Colombia for like a long time, ran a daycare like up where we lived. We lived upstairs and the downstairs was a daycare. And so I've watched her do this, not just with me, but be a mother to other people's kids. And she's always been very spiritual, always been very connected to nature. My dad's always been very connected to nature. So I was privileged in that regard where I've always had a connection that way.
And so the table's kind of been set for you while you've had, you know, everyone will have, you know, struggle trying to figure themselves out.
I've been really lucky when it comes to having
you've
that
had
early.
Kind of like the table was set for you to come back to a table that had some of this.
Yeah. Love and openness. And that's not saying that my childhood was fucking perfect. And I definitely, like, from when I was 14 till I was 19, I was a demon. And I continuously apologize to my parents. And I spend a lot of my life currently trying to pay them back. And I don't think I'll ever be able to pay them back everything I want to. But the wake up was when I was out of that, I don't want to say the dark period, because there was more darkness after that. It just came in chapters. But that chapter, when I came out of that when I came out of those years, the only people that were there, some of the only people that were there for me still were them. Despite us having the issues we had, despite me running away, despite things being fucked, they were there. And then it made me more appreciative and more aware of, like, that what you said, the table's been set. And I know, and I'm more grateful because I know it's not common to have one parent that way, but to have both,
right.
I know it's not fucking common.
Is there something your parents could have done
differently?
When you were going through that 14 to 19 that you just articulated to help you sort, to make it, could they have done anything different to make it not so much of a conflict? Or was that just...
Were you just going to be a dick regardless? You were just going to give them that teenage shit. Y'all are just going to take all this.
Because I wonder, only because I have a 9-year-old. So it's like, it's on the way. And you're like thinking like, yo, I know this is coming. Is there something I could be doing when I see it? Is there something I can, you know? Because as a parent, you don't want that. Even though you want to keep them, you know, away from trouble. And that's your biggest fear. So like, yo, if you go down this road, it's a rough road. I don't want you to have to experience that. Right? And they pull on you and they pull on you. But that pulling makes you as the teenager go, you're just a fucking hater, mom.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the resistance.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I'd love to have a fucking solid answer, but I don't know. I think maybe the only thing that I can offer is the saying, like, communication, like having open channels of communication. It's really hard to even, like, have that stance of trying to be critical, of them, because I was an asshole.
Right.
But what's nice is that I think people always, like, truth always comes to the surface, you know? Truth always comes to the surface. And I see it in, like, relationships that might have broken up where there's kids involved and for whatever reason one parent is spewing and the other isn't, and then kids grow up, and it might affect the kid when they're younger, but when kids grow up, they kind of put things together of like, no, this person was there for me, regardless of whatever propaganda was being thrown around the house.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you show up. So, if you're showing up and your heart's in the right place, I'm also a big believer of intention being very important. So if you have the intention to be great to your kid, you're going to make mistakes, because that's just what we're here to do.
Yeah,
but intention of being there for them and communication. But I don't think they could have done much different. They tried their best with the tools they had, and I'm very aware of that, you know? And I can't fault them for their mistakes either, because, fuck, man, if I had a kid, I'd be fucking them up, so. If I had a kid right now, I'd be fucking making mistakes. So.
It's real shit. Words of a GOAT princess. Go look for it. And we also got she got some tunes out here we got to get to.
Oh, new tunes?
Tunes.
New tunes.
We got the Miguel Jesse joint, Jeans, which is fire. You got the Black joint. Y'all have all. This is not your first time y'all collabing.
No, no, no.
I love Black. Yeah,
my, y'all are amazing.
My wife has a record. There's a some sex record you and Black have that she loves. She's put me onto a bunch of records. Yeah, no, I was like, this is some dirty. What's going on here? That's Jesse. That's Jesse Ortiz. She'll do shit like that.
Her and Kehlani was on a record on Kehlani's album, sexing it up.
Well, I actually, yeah.
You know how they get down.
But that's Kehlani. Yeah, I know how they get down. Did you hit Marshall and wish him happy birthday yesterday?
I did not. I don't really like hitting people day of their birthday because, I get anxiety when I have just bare messages. So yeah. I don't want to contribute to something.
You're saying you think Eminem gets a few texts on his birthday?
Yeah, right. Hey, eh? The tidal wave.
Did you guys, I feel like some sort of like, there's a cosmic, like you guys do seem connected in a weird way between like you talking about your teenage angst and sort of the hard things you've gone through. And like I said, you seeming like a recovery person. He obviously wears recovery. I mean, literally has an album with, I think, what, he wrote 4 billion streams or something called Recovery.
Yeah, yeah.
So like that's a big part of his brand. Do you guys connect in like some of those sort of ways?
No.
Not at all.
No, because at the time when we worked, I was still drinking a lot. Ooh, fuck. I don't want to say not drinking because it gives the, I don't
want to. You don't want someone to see you with a drink and be like, I thought you don't drink.
That too, but I also don't want to put down anyone that's like going through it or uses it because it's the human experience and I'm not here to judge anyone.
But at that time you were drinking and he was stone sober. Because this is what, like 8 years ago, six, seven years ago?
When was the session at Dre's?
That sounds crazy. Oh, okay. So yeah. He's deep into his recovery already.
Yeah, and we just didn't talk about that. I wasn't in that space. I was fucking nervous as hell. There's only two people that I've ever met where I like had to like center myself and not freak out. And M's one of them.
Who's the other one?
Yancé.
I mean, yeah. That just makes you a human.
Yeah, damn. It was funny because I didn't realize, but when we met and then like I hugged, one of my managers was like, was it you or was it Reese that was like, yo, we could hear you. Yeah, I did one of those. I hugged and I was like, huh.
This is for Beyonce? For Beyonce?
No, oh, Beyonce's for worse. Oh, but Em,
for Em, wait, for Em, you
I like audibly,
you sighed.
I audibly exhaled in a very fucking ridiculous way.
Do you think he heard it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it was just genuine. It was genuine. I was just really excited.
Why? Is it because like he's a sick rapper though, or is it because you connect with some other part of him and what he talks about?
Everything, the rawness. Anyone who's raw with however they present themselves, whether or not they're an artist, you like people that are just able to have no filter when it comes to going from their heart to their mouth, I'm a fan of.
Right.
You know,
right.
And whether it's good or bad, whatever they say, as long as they're being honest, I feel like truth resonates. So it's always resonated with me that he's always been very fucking himself and very honest, whether right or wrong. Mm-hmm. Very honest, you know, and at the very least when someone can be that, there's a level of respect that I feel is due because a lot of people in this world fucking can't be that or are scared to be that. So in that way I resonated, and then in like childhood nostalgic ways because I remember 8 Mile and fucking seeing this middle finger with the two fingers down and thinking this shit is lit and like things like that, and being in theaters like, yo, I want to fucking rap on my mic. So things like that, it just, yeah, it was, and I've like being in the room with a fucking legend.
Of course.
Being in the room with the legend.
Wait, tell me about you meeting Beyonce. How did it happen?
So this was more, but Beyonce was even more awkward. How much worse?
Look, she pushed away from the mic. Wait, gather yourself and tell me everything.
Oh my God. It was Made in America. And I feel like such a doofus because I've told this story before, and every time I do, I just have to relive it and it fucking blows. Made in America, and I had done the set, and then
this was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I love bare people at Rock Nation. They're always showing love consistently, you know, and it's just I appreciate it, and it's very much mutual. Ty Ty hit us up and was like, yeah, come back. So we went backstage, and then we've had meetings with Jay and stuff in the past too. So I was like, hey, what's up? Like, we say hi. And then we was there, and I had never met her before. And he was like, oh, and he introduced me. And I was like, hi. I need to preface this by saying, like, I'm not just a Beyonce fan. I'm not just part of the Beehive. Like, I was little in talent shows doing Destiny's Child songs and Destiny's Child choreo. So it's a lot. And I'm like, hi. And she's like, hi. And then she's like, yay. I watched you. You did great. You killed it. And I was like, you watched the set I just did? And she was like, no, yesterday. Because the day before, I had done the MTV, like the VMAs.
Yeah.
And I had done this song. And my voice croaked, which it never does. It never does. And of course, when I'm doing that, like, fucking 1 minute and a half set, because I didn't even have that much time, I missed the fucking high note, and my voice croaked. And when I tell you, there was so much fucking anger to myself when I got off stage. I was so pissed, especially because there's no one to blame but myself, you know? I was pissed, and it took me hours. It took me damn near, like, it took me a minute to swallow it, and then you have to keep it moving, because the next day was a Made in America festival. So I did it, and she was like, yeah, I watched, you did great. And I was like, the set that I just did? She was like, no, yesterday. At the VMAs. So she watched that one. And I was like,
perfect. So Beyonce saw it too.
So she saw the croak, and I was like, oh my God. And I said it. I was like, I hate that I hate that you saw it yesterday. I'm like, I croaked. I'm like, I never croak. And she was like, no. She was like, she said something along the lines of, it's good that you did, because then people see that it's like you actually singing that. You know, if it was tune or if it was like me lip singing or something.
Yeah.
But it's not. I don't do that. So she was like, yeah, it's real. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, thanks. Appreciate it. And then they're like, how you feel? Like, something like that. And I answered some fucking shit. I was like, I'm hungry. And they laughed. And then they're like, yeah, well, there's, like, food here. And then I said, no, I mean, I'm hungry for life.
But you're being your authentic self.
That was you. That's how you felt. That's
a true statement. You are. You're hungry for life.
And by the way, and then Beyonce was like,
no, they laughed. Yeah, they started laughing. I was like, oh. And I sunk into myself. Woo! Oh my God. And then I sunk into myself, and then I was like, you know what? We talked a little more, and then I looked at my managers. I looked at everybody. I was like, I gotta go out. I'll be right back.
Right.
And then they turned around. Y'all turned around, and y'all were like, what the fuck do you mean you gotta? Where are you going? Where do you gotta be?
Why did you walk out?
Where do you gotta be? And she was like,
I gotta go. The fuck out of here.
Yeah, and then I left, and I went outside, and I found a piece of grass, and I knelt down, and I started praying. I started meditating. I needed to, like, because I felt myself out of myself. And I was like, this bitch gotta come back. And then I got myself together, I got myself gathered, and then I walked back inside, and then the rest of the evening was pleasant.
I'm hungry so for good. Life.
Yo.
I can't believe it.
No, but at least you didn't screw up her name in the beginning of the interview.
Yeah, by the way, you didn't say, oh my God, Solange, this is a moment.
Jesus Christ. Hilarious.
Yo, let's run that record. What do you want to play? The Jeans joint? What's the most recent, or the Black joint? Miguel or Black? Or both. Play both.
Yeah, you gave her the option she wanted.
I could tell.
Bless you.
Jessie Reyes, go pick up her book. We love this girl.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
The love is very much mutual. Thank y'all for having me. I got more books for y'all over there.
Always.
Yeah, personalized. Always. I love that nail color.
Thank you.
You're a friend of the show. You are fully into friend of the show, which is a
That's
limited
nice.
Group.
I know. I feel privileged.
You should. You're in there. You're
Thank
in
you.
Like anything you got. Like one day when you're just hawking random crap, you come out with like a lipstick line. I don't know. I'm just whatever you come up with. You're in that group who can
hawking
come.
Hawking random crap.
You can
crap.
Come hawk your crap with us. That's the kind of friend you are. Thank hawk
you.
Away.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all, man. Thank you guys for the vibes and the positivity today.
Always. It's very Thanks much. For sharing.
Thank y'all.
Jessie Ortiz, everyone.
Thank you all.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
Do you know a healthcare hero? Someone who fights for better care for their families, their friends, or their community? The New York Alliance for Healthcare Justice wants to honor them and you with a pair of tickets to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Summer Jam at UBS Arena on June 2nd. Visit hot97.com/NYHJustice to enter to win. Must be 18 or older to enter. Made hot by the New York Alliance for Healthcare Justice.